So, it's school time. We're on the brink of fall. I'm feeling it, right? Well, this summer, I hope you've enjoyed. Those of you who've been here, we've been hiking through the wilderness in Exodus with Moses and the Israelites. And we are to the place right now that they are at Mount Sinai, the bottom of Mount Sinai. And Moses has gone up and been given this covenant of the Ten Commandments, which really is so much more than just 10 rules. Sometimes we think, oh, that's the 10 rules that we have to follow. But there's so much more than that. But I had to choose which sermon, like, you know, I was going to go with. And so I'm not going to tell you about how incredible that is, but maybe someday we will talk about really the 10 Commandments and how that covenant made, you know, even affects our life today. But it was this covenant between God and his people. The people declared before Moses went up and before God, they said, yes, we want to be your people. We will do exactly what you say. And so Moses spent 40 days up on Mount Sinai with God. And then God says, okay, you got to get down there. You got to get back down because people are going crazy. And so Moses starts racing down the mountain, you know, to finally get there. And he sees chaos and crazy sin going on. And he is furious because it directly is in violation of the covenant that he has not even come down to the mountain with. And God is furious. They have built this golden calf. They melted their jewelry, and they're worshiping, of all things, it's hard for us to fathom today, a golden calf. And God's burning with anger at their behavior, that these human beings, he rescued them. He fed them. He gave them water. He parted waters. He did everything for them. He traveled through the wilderness with them like he had never done before, since the Garden of Eden. And now they do this. So this is a scene where we are going to pick up. We're going to look at Exodus 33 today. And so if you have your Bibles, turn it. It's a funny story because Exodus 33 is actually one of my favorite stories. My Bible actually fell apart at this place because this conversation between Moses and God is just fascinating to me, and it is known as one of the central parts of Exodus that has something to teach us. And so I'm going to start in verse 1, and we'll go from there. So the Lord spoke to Moses. Remember, they're all angry. And the Lord's finally saying, depart from here, you and the people whom you have brought from the land of Egypt. It's interesting, he says, whom you have brought. He's like, these are your people. It's kind of like, you know, sometimes if you're in a couple, like, well, your kids, you know. And so he's distancing himself. He doesn't want anything to do with them. You brought them from the land of Egypt to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then in verse 3, God says, tell them I will not go up in your midst because you are an obstinate people. And I just might destroy you along the way. And then if we go to verse 12, then Moses says to the Lord, see, do you ever pray like that? See here, God, you say to me, bring up these people, but you yourself, you have not even let me know whom you're going to send with me. You talked about an angel one time, and now you're saying nobody. And moreover, you have said, I have known you by name. And you have found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, God, I pray to you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways so that I may know you. Not just, you know, like we know a math equation, but know you, the person of you, so that I might find favor in your sight. And consider this too. This nation, this is your people. And so then the Lord said, he said, my presence, it will go with you, and I will give you rest. So then Moses says back to God, well, if your presence does not go with us. Do not lead us up from here. For how can we know that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? How is it that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth? Because this is what God told them all along. He said, you will be distinguished. You are my people. I am setting you apart. And so now they're confused. And the Lord said to Moses, he said, okay, I will do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight. And then Moses said, okay, show me your glory. I think this is the word of God for the people of God. Yeah. Let's pray. Lord God, you are our Father as well, our God, who desires to covenant with us, to be in the closest of relationships with us. I pray that you might help us this morning to learn from the scripture so that it's so much more than just an engaging story, that as we learn, that you will awaken us to long for more of you. Guide us, shape us, so that we can lean into the needs of others. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. You know, maybe there's some of you out there who, you know, have this going on like I do. I have this, I've always had this yearning to think about doing something really big, you know, really tremendous. And it doesn't have to be the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, I would be okay if I didn't get that. But it would be so incredible to think about doing something that affected people or our world. And so I always have that stirring around. And then sometimes I get to the end of my day and I think, okay, so what did I do today? I think, I answered emails, and yesterday I worked at Harvey, and I swept a lot, and I had a couple of meetings, and we talked about, you know, rooms, and where all our Bible studies are going to fit, and things like that, and I think, I just don't think sometimes, I love being a pastor, this is my dream job, but I wonder, am I really even doing anything sometimes to change the world? Noteworthy and tremendous. I would love to be like Moses. Like Moses making a difference. He had this incredible impact on the whole history of Israel. That is amazing to me. And I just think, what would that be like? Because I have conversations with God, and like Moses, you know, Moses and God had that conversation, but mine aren't quite like that. I love the way, the bold way that Moses talked to God, and how it impacted the whole trajectory of God with the Hebrew people. And sometimes I think about the emails, the meetings, and the sweeping, and I feel like, you know, God can really use me. We have great conversations, and then I read this, and I think, I want to learn from this. I want to learn the bold way that Moses talked to God. To have that kind of impact, to have that kind of friendship almost with Jesus, because you can't just talk to anybody like that, much less the creator of the cosmos. But if we really look at it, they had a conversation, and actually our most basic definition of prayer is having a conversation with God. So that really was Moses' version of prayer. And like I said, mine doesn't always look like that, but I want to dissect this today to figure out what there is for us to learn from it. Because there is a reason, like, that my Bible fell apart there, because I read it over and over again, and I know other people that it stuck in their minds as well. So how do we get to pray like Moses? First, we're going to look at really what prayer is and what prayer isn't. And then we're going to take a look at how do we get to that point? How can we have that kind of dialogue with God? So now I know you think, oh, prayer. I know prayer. We just said it. It's a conversation with God, okay? Don't check out, okay? Because this is going to be, just, I want us to think about it in a new way, in a different way, because none of us have arrived unless you had that conversation with God yesterday, you know, that you're not telling me about. But none of us have arrived, and there's so much God wants to teach us. Because we sometimes can think our prayer life can get pretty boring. We kind of use the same words over and over, and we think, okay, we're praying to this passive God up there, but that's not it at all. It's so much more even than the words that we say. Our prayers are related to everything that we think that God is and everything that we are. Think about that. Everything that we believe that God is and everything that we are. He responds not just to our words, but he responds to our whole life. How we think, how we live, how intensely are we listening to him? Okay, so for instance, so we say the Lord's Prayer in here sometime. There could be somebody in here who is just not buying it at all. Yeah, Lord's Prayer. And they might just say the words, I know the words, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And there might be somebody else in here who is savoring every word and meaning it and praying it with their heart, asking God to make it come to reality in their life because they are that hungry. Same prayer, but two different prayers. Prayer is really, it's all about who we think God is and who we are, what we bring to that. Think about the words between Moses and God. Theirs is a conversation that truly shows this. They engage truly everything about who each one of them are and what they think of each other. Because think back, you know, Moses did not talk like that to God in the burning bush. And here they are, 30 chapters later, and he's just saying, this is the way it needs to be. Moses saw God. He saw God's goodness. He saw God as faithful. He saw God's loving kindness. He saw God as the one who provided the bread. He's the one who saw God part the Red Sea, do all the plagues. He had a huge picture of God. And God knew exactly what Moses was bringing. Moses was bringing, look, I signed up for this when I wasn't even quite ready. And I have walked with these people and they've grumbled and grumbled and grumbled. And we do exactly what they asked for. And then they grumble about what we asked for. And so all that Moses is bringing to this conversation, to this prayer. And so there's some frustration there. There's burdens there. And it makes the prayer totally different. And the cool thing is, God is totally respecting that. Sometimes we feel like we can't go there with God. We can't be angry at him. Like that's really, you know, we're not good followers of Jesus if we're angry at God. That's not true. God is, first of all, God already knows how you feel. So you might as well just share with him because he wants you. He wants you to trust him enough to be able to share that. This conversation to me showed a huge amount of trust. Do we have that in our conversations with God? Moses also knew God was a covenant maker. He promised to his people that he would always be with them. He's seen his power, the way he provides. This conversation was frank and candid because they knew each other so well. Prayer is related to everything that God is, as well as everything that we are. Prayer is the most significant way that we can get closer to Christ. The most significant way that we can get closer to God. Prayer ushers us in to this communion with him. And if we don't pray, if we put it off, if we get busy, we're distracted, chief among sinners here, believe me, all good stuff going on. But sometimes we just will, I'll do it. On my break, I'll do it monster. Oh, I'll just listen to KSBJ on the way to work. You know, it just comes down to that. And We need prayer. It robs our soul from being nourished. Just like our physical bodies are undernourished, if we don't feed them proportionally, our souls will never mature to who God is calling them to be if we don't invest this time with Him. Because prayer is the most significant way that we get closer to God. It is the central avenue also that God uses to transform us. Prayer is life-changing. Life-changing. You know, you become like the people you hang around, right? Kids, you know that? You become like the people you hang around. So keep that in mind when you start school tomorrow. But if you're spending time with God, you're transformed because you are in His presence more and more. And it might not just be the one time in the morning. We can incorporate ways that I would love sometime to go into a class on, don't have time to do it in this, but ways that you can incorporate prayer throughout your day. So it doesn't have to be just this block here, and then you know, you have had the other segment of your life. That's not the way God intends it to be. In Exodus 33, up to this point in Exodus, I went through this morning, I counted at least 36 conversations between Moses and God. And some of them were a couple chapters. They were long conversations. These are not small talk kind of people. And I believe all that time with God changed Moses. It changed him. He is not the same man, like we said in Exodus 4, who said, I am slow of speech and of tongue. Really? Is that slow of speech saying, if your presence does not go with us, no, we're not going. Nope. He is no longer slow of speech and tongue. He has been transformed. He is this confident leader that he was not at all in Exodus 4. In fact, he refuses to go anywhere without the presence of Christ. That is how significant that time was with him. He has been transformed from this timid, not sure of himself, kind of running away from hiding, to this confident leader, being able to stand toe-to-toe with God and remind him about his promises. In verse 14, God assures Moses that he will go with him, and he's going to even give Moses some rest. But then Moses lets God know in the next line, if your presence does not go with us, we're not going. Do not send us. Moses is passionately advocating and petitioning for his people who just messed up pretty big time. They're in a big old hot mess. And there they are, but he is advocating for them. He didn't even like those people when they were grumbling and when they were complaining. And when they said they got angry at him about, why did you even start this? Now they're making us make more bricks. And now he has the opportunity to go and leave them. God's saying, I'll take care of you. You go on. I'm going to give you some rest. Goodness knows he could probably use some rest. Have you ever slept on a tent with grumbling people for, you know, how many miles and days? But he says, no, this is us. He has become this advocate. He has grown this big heart for these high-maintenance, obstinate grumblers. Who does that? Praying for each other, advocating for one another, it really is a heart issue. It is a love issue. It's not just something we can have a checklist for. Richard Foster, if you ever have read about Renovari or something, one of my favorite writers on prayer, the celebration of discipline, he says this. He says, if we genuinely love people, we desire them far more than it is within our power to give them. And that should cause us to pray. The churchy word for this is intercessory prayer. It's a big word for saying, I care so much about you. I am going to stand in front of the throne of grace and advocate and talk to God with everything I have on your behalf about what you need. Maxie Dunham calls it love on its knees. Prayer for others is from compassion and for love, from love. And prayer changes us. It feeds us. It grows us. And it is the most significant way that we can get closer to God. So many times people want to know, I want to know God's will for my life. They come, especially like law students or college students. I'm just trying to figure out God's will for my life. Well, do you have this time with him that you're spending with him? And I'm like, well, it's been hard. I've got so much going on. These classes are so hard. I get that. But you're never going to find out what God is willing for your life unless you spend this time with him. And this is the most significant way we can get closer to him so we can hear him. And prayer is all of us with all of who we believe God is. So how do we get to the point that we can pray like Moses? I think that one of the reasons I like this so much, even though it is prayer, is Moses is really, he is just having a conversation with God. It is just like two guys kind of hashing it out. And that reminds me, I have to remember, this is what prayer looks like. I don't always have the perfect words. I don't have to speak Christianese. I don't even have to talk all churchy. I can tell him that I am frustrated with something going on in my family or anything. In traffic, we'll say. But he's coming to conversation with God and he's pouring out his heart. Sometimes, you know, working at church, I'll be in a group and a Bible study and somebody come up to me and I'll say, I don't pray out loud. I'm like, oh, okay, you don't pray out loud. No, I really don't pray. Don't call on me to pray out loud. I don't pray out loud. Okay, well, I get that, but you know what? Maybe in a couple weeks, let's try that. And just write something down, but it's just really talking to God. And we think that it's really not, that it's much harder than it really is. So how do we get to that point? How do we get so comfortable with it? Well, I think one of the significant things here is that Jesus taught us to come and to talk to God like a child. And children are open, they're honest, and they're trusting. And I think that is exactly what this conversation had. Moses was completely honest. He held nothing back. The truth was evident. That trust alone, it allows him the freedom to express to God what he really thought. But also, he had to walk that line knowing that God is sovereign. That God is not going to automatically do what he says. And so Moses walked that line very well, and he had to trust him, or he never would have been able to have that conversation. Open, honest, and trusting. Moses also reminds God, he reminds God of his promises. Those are some kind of a listening promises. God is fine being reminded of his promises. I think he really likes being reminded. Actually, Dr. Steve Siemens, who taught intercessory prayer at Asbury Seminary, he says God likes to be reminded of his promises. One of the reasons is because it tells him that you took what he said seriously. So remind God of his promises in Scripture. Remind God, maybe if when you journaled, you felt like God gave you the Scripture and you claimed it. Remind God when you were in a difficult time, your promise to him. I actually took, you know, some of these prayers and I made them my own. When God said, the part of it when, I think that's why my Bible fell apart, when he is saying, I will not leave this place unless your presence goes with me. Sometimes that has been my bed before I got out of bed in the morning. I am not leaving this bed until I know that you're getting out and going with me today. Sometimes it's in my office before I come out here. Lord, you know, I am not going out there unless your presence is going with me. And remember, these are your people. Or someone say, remember, those are your sons. This is a wonderful prayer. These are his promises. Make them your own. Remind him about the promises. Call on his attributes. Call on his mercy. And ask God to extend his loving kindness, maybe to the person, to the people that you are praying for. Remind or thank God that he is the creator. He is the creator of you, of the people, of the person that you're praying for. And tell him, you know, he is still in the creating business. And so maybe he might create new life in that person. You might even say, Lord, I'm praying for my sister, and I remember when she was baptized and how we prayed and we anointed you. She was anointed with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Remember her baptism. Claim those promises of God when you are praying for other people. I think we're also called, when we pray for other people, we're called to be bold and we're called to be fervent. I see Moses living out Psalm 119, 145. He says, I cry out to God with my whole heart. It is all of who he is in conversation with all of who God is. And when we cry out to God and we acknowledge that he has the power and the resources that we need for our request, we can cry out with everything we have. Because intercessory prayer, this privilege that you've been given, I've been given, this God who desires it, it means that we cannot ever say, well, there's really nothing I can do. We can't do anything. We cannot say that. Because we can pray to the most powerful God who has more care and concern about that person than you do. So we have the freedom. We will never say that. The feeling, and I know some of you have had it here, we have a wonderful prayer team of intercessors that meet on Wednesday when you all fill out those green cards. I know some of you are in here and you're all invited to be there. But for somebody praying for you, if somebody comes up to you and says, you know what, I've been praying for you. When somebody ever says that to me, I feel like the richest person in the world. I had this experience, and some of y'all know about it, that last November 26th, I was in a car accident. And I crushed my wrist and my sternum and most of my ribs and my left foot. Broke bones in my left foot. And I had an external fixator and 2 surgeries on my wrist. And kind of like Eric was talking about, the love of Lakewood, you know, I had that experience of the same. I got so many cards and emails from people telling me they were praying for me. One man came, the first time I saw him, he said, I am praying for you every day. And he said, I wish I could take the pain that you are feeling and put it on me. That took the pain right away. To know that that kind of intercessory prayer comes out of love and compassion. And they are going to the throne of grace on your behalf when they have a lot of things going on in their life. It was Christmas. It was the holidays. And they still prayed for me. I couldn't drive for 3 months. And people drove me around. They took me to the doctor. They took me to occupational therapy. They flat ironed the back of my hair. That's really humbling. Yeah. Not too many, only a select few did that. But overwhelming feeling of somebody praying for you. I found some cards the other day because my sisters and my mom came and were just taking care of my house because I couldn't get up. I found some cards that I never had even seen from people who had been telling me they were praying for me every day. And this is the power of it. A year before that, a friend of mine and I made reservations to hike the Grand Canyon because you have to make reservations to go down to the bottom of the Grand Canyon a year in advance. And so I thought I'd lost that opportunity in March. But I was feeling pretty good. And so I asked my doctor, I said, yeah, you think there's a possibility? He said, well, your foot's still broke. Your wrist is still kind of broke. But, if you want to, you're pretty stubborn. You know, go ahead. And so, I'm like, okay. He said, promise me, though, you will quit. Don't laugh at me, Reese. That's not funny. And so, so I did. 109 days after the accident, I was able to hike the 20 miles down and up the Grand Canyon. You know, I think it's 5,000 miles and 5,000 feet in elevation, not miles, but and to see God's beauty and to feel me getting strength with every step of the way. And before I left, I'm not going to say it was somebody in here, but somebody gifted me with a book with all the ways you can die in the Grand Canyon. Thank you very much. Really? Really? I don't know if that person was praying for me or not, but there is no way. When I came back to my doctor, he said, there is no way. There is no way you should have been able to do that. There's no way. You crushed your wrist. You had 5 pins in your wrist, 2 surgeries. And I said, oh, I know why. It's my people. It's my prayer people. My people are praying for me. My family's praying for me. He said, well, that it would have to be something like that, because there's no way you could have healed all that to go up and down the Grand Canyon. And so that feeling is a feeling I want all you to have. And so our ushers are going to pass out. I know I'm running out of time. We're going to pass out. They're going to pass out white pieces of paper to you. Ushers, come forward and pass out your paper. And I want you to write down a prayer request. Give everybody a piece of paper. And you're going to turn it back in. No names. No names on this. I want, if you're a student, I want you to write student on there. That's all I want you to write. And then what we're going to do, this can be personal. It can be something that you've been struggling with a long time. It could be something for a family member that you're asking them to join you in prayer for. And then we're going to put them all back in the baskets, and I'm going to ask everybody to pick one out of the basket when you leave today. And I want you to approach the throne of grace with confidence on behalf of this person, because somebody's going to be doing it also for you. And this is an incredible opportunity to grow closer to God, to trust Him, to be transformed by Him, and to feel one of the most incredible expressions of love from somebody else in this room. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.